Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
And Riley.
And that's it for now.
I'm filling in for the vacationing Mark Edge.
Yep, the forever vacationing Mark Edge. But we also have Jay Noon coming, but he'll be a little late. I'll allow it since he's usually completely on time all the time.
You're not going to make him wear the crown of shame?
Oh, is that what Captain does?
Yep.
I think we need a better crown of shame. It's just a Burger King hat.
All right. Well, you got to wear it upside down.
Well, wait, why did he makes them wear it upside
yeah.
down?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess Captain is a much harsher, Free Talk Live ruler than me.
Well, he's the captain.
I don't feel like I can make Jay Noon do anything. He'll just be like, ha ha ha, you're a funny little tiny tyrant. And not listen to me. So good news today. Well, possibly good news. Something that could lead to good news, I guess you could say. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Australia asks the U.S. Justice Department to reach a plea deal with Assange. So we had somewhat of a similar article last week with as this article will point out, there were some questions the UK government court was asking that were kind of making them think maybe we can't extradite him or give him over to the US. I don't know, would it be them extraditing him or the US extraditing him?
It would be I don't know. I know the UK at this point has custody of Assange, so they'd be extraditing him to the United States.
Okay. I was just wondering how that word verb works right now. Yeah. I was like, would they be doing it or would we be extraditing him, export and import.
Yeah, I don't know how that works either.
I said we about the United States.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There's not a mouse in my pocket. I just remembered.
Okay, good. I'm glad there's not a mouse in your pocket. Don't mouse pocket me, Bonnie.
So, this article from the Wall Street Journal says, the Justice Department is under growing pressure to reach the U.S. Justice Department, it kind of implies, is under growing pressure to reach a plea deal with Julian Assange after a request to do so from the WikiLeaks founder's native Australia and questions from a UK court that could prevent his extradition to the US for many more months. And that seems like, is that it? Just prevent it for a few more months? Or?
Yeah, it seems like, are they trying to draw out the process a little longer, or are they trying to actually...
Or maybe the plea deal would just be oh, you reach a plea deal, and then you only do a certain amount of time, then we extradite you anyway. So it might not be good news at all.
Who knows?
I feel like he just shouldn't take the plea deal, but of course, that's what I always say.
Yeah.
The government of Australia last week asked the U.S. if it could reach a felony plea deal. Whoa, doesn't sound good. With Assange, that could result in his return home, according to people familiar with the matter. The other thing is, you're making a plea deal with the devil. They could get you over here and be like, you know what? We're not sending you home, and you're going to do time here. And then they just kill him or something. I would be terrified to come to the United States if I was him.
I would be, too, because the United States terrorist organization is nothing more than a violent gang. I mean, they have proven themselves time and time again to not be just, to be tyrants. And, with political prisoners like Assange, they're going to be ruthless.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. He quote unquote betrayed them. I don't believe that, and you don't believe that, obviously, but that's what they like to say, which makes no sense because if you've never even been to a country, how do you have any kind of allegiance to it? And maybe it's not betrayed, the word they use is like, what's the word, like a Benedict Arnold? It's close to betray.
It's treason, maybe?
Yeah, they say that he committed treason, and it makes no sense, because you literally, by the definition of that term, need to have already, like, pledged allegiance to a country or group in order to be treasonous.
Well, I think you and I in this room have, at some point, pledged allegiance to a piece of cloth.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, we've committed that sin in our lifetimes, and so we're on the radio trying to repent of it, I guess, and most people don't see it as a sin because they value the state, and I think it's important for our listeners to realize that the state, the institution known as the government, is nothing more than a group of strangers. It's nothing more than the mafia masquerading as a service provider.
Yeah, and I don't know, what do you mean by considering it a sin?
Well, to me it was just a joke. Like, I guess I look at it as more of a joke thing that I was saying, oh, it's a sin, because, you know, statism is this vile religion, in my opinion, and
yeah,
it's an evil religion. And we pay homage to this evil religion at one point in our lives, which, you know, if you're valuing freedom, it's kind of a sin, if you want to look at it that way. But you don't have to look at it that way.
I feel like if you already didn't believe in it, and you pledged allegiance anyway to, like, save your skin in some way, or just, like, save your reputation, then it would be kind of a sin, because it'd be, like, going against your own conscience. But
okay,
to me, it's like, and I don't really have a problem with you saying that, I'm just like, I don't know, it's an interesting thought and conversation.
Yeah.
But I feel like with me, it's like when I was pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States and Texas, because they make us do that in Texas high schools and middle
interesting
schools. Interesting. Yeah, it's honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one nation, or one state, or something like that. I don't remember actually what's next, but it starts off, honor the Texas flag. Like, a whole class of kids saying that's so silly.
That is kind of silly. It's just a piece of cloth.
It's so funny, though, because, like, only Texas would do that.
Yeah, only Texas. They think they're the land of the free, the home of the brave, and they're going to secede from America, but we haven't seen that yet.
I really hope that they do.
I hope so, too. I think they'd be really cool to see these organizations calling themselves states leave a union that's no longer beneficial to them.
Yeah, it's just like one step closer to leaving altogether, and, you know, to every individual seceding individually.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say, oh, well, your state government being in control of you isn't any less tyrannical. I think it is. I think it's less tyrannical, literally, because the Washington, D.C. people who are thousands of miles away from Texas, or at least like 1,000 miles away from Texas, I don't know, they don't care. I'm not trying to say like that Greg Abbott does care or anything like that, but they're a lot less accountable. Like, they can do whatever they want, basically, and what is anyone from Texas going to do? Fly to D.C. and do something about it? Like, they're not.
No, they're generally not. They may protest at their state capital, or they may fly to D.C. and do something, but people in the district of criminals aren't going to care, because the people in Texas are dozens of miles, or hundreds of, or maybe even 1,000 miles away, or whatever it is, and they don't care, because, well, you're just a bunch of plebs in a different location that I don't have to worry about. And that's the biggest complaint the colonists had with the crown, is they were far away from the crown, so to speak, and didn't feel like they had a voice. And it's happening again today, and we haven't learned our lesson, have we?
Right. Well, going back to me saying the Pledge of Allegiance in high school and stuff, and probably you too, I don't really know, but at the time, I really did believe, like, in all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I definitely, in high school, I believed it. I was fervent about the pledge. I wanted to say the pledge loud and proud, because
right,
I was a patriot.
I hate to admit it, but, like, Chris Wade and some other co-hosts, like Ian, will be like, I always thought it was strange. I questioned it even in first grade, but I was just like, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, like, the loudest kid.
Yeah.
Maybe not the loudest kid or anything like that, but I was definitely, like, I would be so confused and almost angry when I would see other kids, like, sitting down for the pledge and not doing it, because at least at the years I was in middle and high school, they couldn't do anything to you for not saying it, and some kids would choose not to say it, which really shocked me.
Well,
and I'd be like, why would they do that? It's so rude. It's terrible.
I also remember being angry that people wouldn't respect the flag or the country.
That's so weird, considering how we are now.
Yeah, it's so different. Like, we look back on that, our old self, and we're like, oh, That's interesting. But I can also have sympathy for that self back then because, you know, I didn't know any better. I firmly believe that America was the land of the free, the home of the brave, the chosen land of God's chosen people or whatever.
Yeah, the first 4th of July that happened, I think it was 2017, after I had become a libertarian, maybe it was 2016. I can't really remember if I became like a straight up anarchist at the beginning of 2016 or the end, but it must have been 2017 because I voted for Trump in 2016 and I was still like becoming a libertarian, but I got kind of convinced by, I was just like, well, I can't let Hillary Clinton win, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because Hillary Clinton was never going to win Utah. My vote didn't change anything. Also, my coworkers, aka like my bosses, actually were like, that's just a childish thing to do to vote for Gary Johnson. You're throwing your vote away. You should vote for Trump.
It's just ridiculous how these statists think their votes actually matter.
Right.
And how not voting for a certain party or it's throwing your vote away.
It's ridiculous. At least one of my bosses really wanted me to vote for Trump and was just like, she's like a grown woman that I respected. So it was like kind of messed up to honestly do that to me. But I think about that a lot. But whatever. She's, you know, a pretty miserable person now. And I'm, you know, moving on, getting more and more control of my life and not as influenced by random people like that anymore.
Yeah.
But my first 4th of July, it must have been 2017, after, like, completely, like, grasping all of this stuff, I actually cried watching the fireworks with my parents because it was, like, I finally saw everything for how it was, and I felt so, like, lost. Like, is there any place on Earth that's actually, like, free? Like, all the stuff that I was told, it's all lies.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound that serious to some people, maybe, but it was to me.
It sounds like you were going through a grieving process and having this existential grieving over this idea that this isn't the land of the free anymore. We're actual slaves in a plantation.
Right. So there was that, and I stopped being like at least like the type of Christian that my parents were that year.
Yeah.
So I just felt really like lost, literally, that year.
So for me, it was a gradual process. Like I remember learning about anarcho-capitalism in 2014 and thinking about it, and I still was this constitutional lover and I guess a bit of a minarchist in a way. And then over time, I started becoming more of an ANCAP, and now I consider myself a voluntarist, and here I am in New Hampshire. So for me, it was a gradual process. And I remember the time when I started working for a company in 2018, and They were typical conservative Utah patriots, and then they started reciting the pledge during a staff meeting. And I just remember being like, you know, I'm an anarchist or a voluntarist. I don't believe in reciting a pledge. Am I willing to not stand for the pledge because people around me are going to peer pressure me or whatever, and I might feel that peer pressure?
Did they?
No.
Hmm.
Luckily for me, no. So I definitely did not stand for the pledge, and nowadays, I would never stand for the pledge.
Right. I never do anymore, and I don't stand for judges either. It's actually, like, now that I'm over the initial things we were talking about, kind of like you said, like an existential crisis, feeling like what's even true, what's even real,
yeah.
Where is there actually, like, a place I belong and stuff like that. After all of that, I feel a lot more free, and I feel sorry for people who feel the way I did. Like, yesterday, you were on the show, Jeremy West from Australia, he called to tell us that he runs our TikTok, and you can follow us on TikTok at Free Talk Live. No underscores or anything, it's just at Free Talk Live. He told me that there was a woman, actually, that asked on the TikTok, Bonnie is mad at the system. Why isn't she mad at her husband for breaking the law? And at first I was annoyed, really annoyed by that question, and then I was just driving and thinking about it today, and I was just thinking, like, I could have so easily become a person that thought that way if just a few different things went differently in my life. So I'm not really mad at her anymore, and I'm also just kind of like, I almost feel bad for people like that.
I do too. I feel bad for the people who can't see the system for what it is, a sham, a scam, a gang of thugs pretending to have authority over you. It's the same thing with religion for me. Like, I see these people, these prophets, these apostles, these popes, these pastors, or whatever you want to call them, with their supposed authority to declare God's word as just people with titles. They may mean well. They may wear the cloak of God or whatever, if you want to call it that. But as I understand it, they're just still people with titles. There's still people in a meat suit with a title that has no bearing on me.
They're wearing suits made of meat.
Well, that's what I call it.
Yeah.
The body.
You know, a human.
The meat suit.
Yeah. I just wanted you to explain it to the listeners.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga wore a dress made of meat once to the VMAs in 2009.
I heard about that. You know, a lot of people think Lady Gaga is satanic, but that's a different show, unless you want to go there right now. I don't think she is. I think these pop stars are just pop stars. They're doing their thing. They're doing whatever. And these Christian weirdos out there, oh my gosh, they're satanic!
They do put a lot of weird crap that... It's definitely questionable. The thing is, like, I wouldn't use the term satanic, considering there's already, like, a definition of what that is. It's like, Arya literally is a Satanist, and yeah. It means a certain thing. So I really don't get why these people, like, I feel like there's something fishy going on with a lot of pop culture. A lot of things that are just like, why are you all doing that? Why are you all covering one eye? Blah, blah, blah. And it can't, like, I feel like a lot of people are like, obviously it's for the attention. They did it for years and years before VigilantCitizen.com came around and people were like, hey, why are they all doing the same stuff? Why would they have just done that, like, with for no attention for decades? But that's definitely a whole different topic. But,
yeah.
And I love Lady Gaga. Like, I'll listen to her music forever. And I feel like a lot of times that they, the pop stars, are just talented people who kind of have to go along to get along, to get, like, their art out there.
Yeah, and they feel like they have to go along with the system.
Yeah, so I really hope that nothing, like, terrible is happening to them. Like, sometimes I think, like they put so much, like, mind control symbolism in their stuff, like, meaning, like, they allude to, like music video after music video after music video. Like, Katy Perry is, like, a huge one, and Britney Spears, like, have these allusions talking about, like, they allude to the concepts of mind control or slavery in their music videos. Like, why? I really hope they're not slaves. Like, if something bad is happening to these people just for my entertainment, like, I would stop listening. If I knew that for sure, I'd, like, stop supporting it. It's just, like, it's really tough. Like, this is an entire topic that, like, 2022, I went through, like, crazy feelings and stopped listening to most music for a long time. And I actually had tickets to go see Lady Gaga in Boston for her Chromatica tour. And I didn't go. Like, I sold my tickets because I just had this, like, I felt like I shouldn't support, like, the controllers.
Well, and, you know, we were coming out of a pandemic in 2020 and everyone was like, oh, wear your mask, including the pop stars. And so I can understand
that's a huge part of it.
This desire to not be part of that system. And it's interesting that a lot of people still want to be part of that system because Taylor Swift is popular or whatever, and we got to be part of the system, we got to be part of a fashion trend, we got to follow the pop stars. And it's just so fascinating how involved people are with pop culture.
One thing about it was literally the mask, and it's not just, like, some people might find that totally frivolous and be like, oh, if you like the music, you should listen to it, even if your politics differ from hers. But the thing is, like, it's a lot deeper than that for me. When I was 11 and I discovered Lady Gaga, and all I did all day was, like, research about Lady Gaga, watch her music videos, watch her live performances on YouTube, hope that one day I could, like, meet her and stuff like that. The thing about it to me was she, like, exemplified and was Miss Individuality to me. Like, be whoever you want.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want to do. Don't let anybody else tell you you can't. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you set your mind to, types of stuff. And that, I've always really got that. That is literally her message and stuff. But then she goes and does stuff like wears a mask while performing and stuff like that. And I felt almost like betrayed in 2020.
So it sounds like her hypocrisy or whatever caused some feelings of betrayal for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Because I always looked up to her for a specific, like, this is the thing. This is my theory now. I think that tons and tons of pop music, and the thing is, like, my thing is pop music. Like, I just love pop specifically. I love, like, Bjork, and she has those types of themes. I love Lady Gaga.
What about Beyonce?
I'm just not, like, a huge Beyonce fan, and I don't think that she would fall under this category I'm about to talk about, who,
okay,
like, put, like, messages of individuality and freedom in their music. And but tons of the ones that I really like do that. And I have this theory now that, and it's not just pop, like, a lot of this happens in rock, you know, like Nine Inch Nails, they have these themes about freedom and, like, stick it to the man and stuff like that and do whatever you want, be yourself and lead yourself. Well, they do that while, on the other hand, supporting politicians and doing stuff that, like, goes completely against that. And I wonder now if maybe they put these ideas of freedom and everything in their music. So that way, your brain is just telling you, oh, this is freedom. Like, listening to this song is that thing that I need on a biological level. That is it. And then your thirst for it is quenched.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's like a psychological game.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it sounds like to me what you're saying is that they're singing about freedom on one hand and wearing masks and muzzles on the other as though they're trying to portray that as actual freedom. Tyranny
right.
is freedom. Yeah.
And you, on a, you know, subconscious level, are believing that that is, you're not going to go out and look for freedom anymore.
Yeah, freedom is slavery.
And freedom is slavery is such a good point because they put slavery themes in their music videos.
Yeah. And it's just the example of Orwellian doublespeak. If people have not read 1984, I would highly recommend that book. The idea of doublespeak is basically, you know, people are saying one thing, but their actions are telling you another.
That is a really good point. I would definitely recommend anybody read or at least, like, listen to it on audiobook. That is the book that actually, like, woke me up.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't remember if it was said on the show or I heard it somewhere else, but people need to realize that 1984 and Brave New World are not roadmaps of where we should go or where we're going, but there should be warnings to us of, let's not go down this road. This is totalitarianism at its finest. Let's not go down this road, people. And yet we're going down the road.
I have no idea if that's why those people wrote those books, but I totally agree that that is how people should at least look at them either way.
Yeah.
I actually never read Brave New World. I feel like you just got to read like one or two of those. Read The Giver. That's a good one.
I haven't read The Giver or Brave New World. I probably should read both of them.
And then read... Well, never mind. I'm just going to start listing things people should read. Like, you know, all of the Chronicles of Narnia.
And those are good books. I mean, there's a lot of Christian symbolism in those books, but I think we can also look at them as symbolisms or symbols as of liberation, of not looking for a messianic figure to liberate us, but we can look at the lion as a symbol of our own liberation, our own lives.
I read it as, like, no longer a Christian and as an anarchist, or at least I read The Magician's Nephew from it, and I got, oh my god, like, a lot out of that I didn't get as a kid.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like, oh my god. It's candy to read. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. You can call in with your opinions and thoughts about anything we're talking about, or you can just change the subject altogether. If there's something you want to be heard on radio stations across the United States, call in. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Two of the seven seated jurors in President Trump's hush money criminal trial are being dismissed from the panel. One was released after inquiries into his arrest record, while another was excused due to concerns about media exposure of her identity. Trump continues to appear in the New York court rather than on the campaign trail. Hunter Biden is asking appellate courts in both of his criminal cases to consider dismissing his tax and gun charges. Biden asked the Third Circuit Court of Appeals earlier this week to hear his arguments for dismissal after a judge in Delaware denied Biden's requests to drop three felonies related to a 2018 gun purchase. Authorities are continuing their investigation into the origins of the Maui fires from last year, which claimed the lives of 101 people. According to a report by the state attorney general, a significant windstorm caused power lines to topple in Lahaina, igniting that initial fire on that August day. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. It doesn't matter. You can change the subject or comment on what we're talking about. It doesn't matter because it's Free Talk Live, and you should be able to speak your mind and say whatever you want people to hear.
That's what free speech is all about.
Right. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And that's it.
So far.
I was, like, expecting a third one for a second. Usually we have three co-hosts. We're waiting for Janun to join us as well. In the last segment, we talked about a whole bunch of different things, but one of the things we started talking about is this Wall Street Journal article about Julian Assange. So Julian Assange is the founder of WikiLeaks. And he made that website to put out some, I don't know if you'd call it like a dog whistle, considering he wasn't in the U.S. government. Well, he allowed people to become dog whistles by publishing on WikiLeaks. Like, isn't that what Snowden did? Snowden, like, worked with Assange, right?
I don't know if Snowden worked with Assange necessarily. I know Snowden was a former contractor for the NSA and published mm-hmm. ideas, but I don't know if he published them through Assange. I know... Who was it? Glenn Greenwald did a lot of reporting on Edward Snowden. He was a journalist, did a lot of reporting on Edward Snowden and the Snowden revelations and how the government was surveilling us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was important. WikiLeaks was also important because Julian Assange was publishing supposedly government documents.
Yep.
And they didn't like it.
Yep, they did not like that at all.
Because it revealed their secrets and their their schemes and how much of a sham they really are.
Yes, the United States government. And so the other sham government, the United Kingdom, currently has custody of... I've never thought of it like that. Like, just read it like, uck. Yeah. So the UK currently has custody of Julian Assange, and he's not doing well there. I've always heard that he's doing really bad in prison, and I don't blame him. I would be terrified to get given to the United States government if I were him.
Yeah, I mean, Belmarsh Prison, where he's being held in the UK, is just not a friendly place from what I've heard.
That's so weird. I always think of the UK as sort of like Canada. Like, how could they be mean? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well,
but it's not true, actually.
Tyranny looks really nice on the outside, but on the inside, it's a rotten core.
I agree. Well, sometimes tyranny looks really bad on the outside, too.
Oh, it does.
But with, like, the kings and queens over there and stuff, I feel like they put a lot of effort into this front where they're like, oh, we are civilized. We are kings and queens, and we have tea parties and stuff.
Well, it's
we wear weird hats.
It's the way the people want to view them. They want to view the kings and queens as their special monarchs that are the saviors or the people they can look to in times of trouble or the people who are high above them and they're so wonderful and they're brilliant and they're perfect and we need to look up to these people. They're physical embodiments of the divine, but in reality they're just people in meat suits with titles.
I agree, including the kings and queens, you know, no matter how they want to make themselves look.
Yeah.
And in the United States, they really do basically the same thing, like decorum and dressing up in suits, like you're saying. And I never really, I always said never, but I haven't liked that kind of thing in a long time. When I was younger, I did, like, it's not like it was at the forefront of my mind, but I realized later that I definitely did think of those people as somehow different than us. Like,
huh.
Now I like to remind people that they're just people just like us, and they're also people who believe themselves to be better than us, and they're that just makes them parasites. They want to let you do all the work while they tell you what to do. They take 34% of your earnings over your lifetime, as we learned yesterday. They believe that they're your owners. They're just an evil monopoly, and they're also lunatics and despots and goons and thieves and...
Gangsters.
Gangsters, yeah. They're the mafia, the modern-day mafia. Just
you
trying
know,
to legitimize itself.
Like you, I used to think these people were better as well. They were better than us. They're different. They're special. And it'd be so nice to be in their presence. But in reality, they're just people with titles. They're just like you and me. They just happen to have magical titles next to their name.
Right. I used to actually feel the same way where I thought, like, oh, it'd be so nice to meet George Bush when I was a little kid. Sounds so weird now. Like, this is so weird. But I asked my mom and dad, I was like, would you let George Bush babysit us? And they were like, of course we would. And then I was just like, yay, that would be so fun. Now that's literally terrifying.
Yeah.
After, like, the Pizzagate stuff came out.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I'm sure, I don't know, let me ask you. Did you ever look up to your pastor or your church leaders when you were little?
Yeah, definitely.
See, I did too. And I thought the prophet, which I came from Mormonism, so the prophet was this special guy. He had so much love for humankind and was chosen by God to lead the people. And people said to me, I've been in the prophet's presence, and he's such a good man. I can feel goodness and love radiating from him. And I'm like, and now that I think about it as an anarchist today, I think about it as this placebo effect. I mean, they're feeling things that aren't real. I mean, they're real inside their head, but they're not true in the sense that these people are not radiating love from them. They're just people with titles, and you're associating so much importance with these people and titles.
It's probably your own love you're feeling because, you know, you've been manipulated to feel that way for them.
Yeah.
We have Jay Noon here joining us, so I unmuted you, Jay.
Hello. Sorry for getting here late.
Should we make him wear the crown of shame?
I'm not a tiny tyrant, as David from New Mexico says.
All right.
I'm not
going to
make him wear the crown of shame. Apparently that's something that Captain does, so look out, Jay, if you're late on a Captain Day, he'll make you wear the crown of shame.
Well, I'm not afraid of any crowns.
Well, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, by the way, and that's digital cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash, and you can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. So before you got here, Jay, we were talking about, and we barely got into the article, so that's kind of a good thing. We're talking about this idea that Australia is asking the U.S. Department to reach a plea deal with Assange, which at first we're like, oh, maybe this is a good thing, and the more we think about it, might even be a bad thing.
I think plea deals are generally bad things.
Yeah.
But there's no reason that this Assange has gone through all he's gone through. It's really bad.
Yep, there's no reason that it's happened this far at all. I mean, like, the
idea... All he did was expose the truth.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
The idea that the process is the punishment is so true. He hasn't gotten any kind of a trial or anything yet, and yet he's been away from his family and living in a cage for, like, over a decade. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no due process of law. There's no victim. I'm going to butcher the quote, but Ron Paul says, truth is treason.
In the empire of lies.
In the empire of lies. There you go.
Yep.
And Julian Assange is willing to tell the truth. And they don't like it. They don't like when people tell the truth.
They don't like it. And I wonder if this sentence here is actually, you know, the Australian government also not liking it and trying to look like they're doing something good. It says, the government of Australia last week asked the U.S. if it could reach a felony plea deal with Assange that could result in his return home, according to people familiar with the matter. The U.S. is also facing a Tuesday deadline to provide assurances to a U.K. court that Assange would be afforded free speech protections under the First Amendment, comparable to those U.S. citizens enjoy, something that contradicts what U.S. prosecutors previously suggested in this case. Wow, that's so bad. I thought as soon as you got into the land known as the United States, you were supposed to have all of the rights afforded to you people under the Constitution.
Well, that's what you get for thinking.
See, but I just mean, like, I thought that's the way that they say that it is going to work.
Well,
you know?
They say it that way, I'm sure, but the reality is so much different.
Maybe they have this thing like, oh, yeah, but not if you're a prisoner.
Yeah, well, prisoners don't get rights anymore.
Well, the thing is, you know, actually, if you start looking at, like, who actually the federal government recognizes rights as people, because the Constitution says the word people, mm-hmm. doesn't say persons, doesn't say corporations, any of that stuff. You know, people have these rights, and this is something we're paying very close attention to here in New Hampshire with, you know, the people are, you know, guaranteed due process of law. And what's happening is courts everywhere are operating without due process of law. So on this international level with, it's the United States who is trying to extradite, you know, Julian Assange back to the States so they can do something with him.
Yeah.
I don't know how many dollars has been spent of,
right.
you know, U.S., right. you know, tax slaves dollars or great-grandchildren who aren't even born yet. But anyways, and this, you know, this thing is just happening everywhere. And here in New Hampshire, and actually in all 50 states, from what I can tell, you have Child Protective Services and family court, you know, basically engaging in conspiracies with, you know, a whole bunch of their employees, engaging in conspiracies with a whole bunch of employees from another governmental agency, not a government agency. You know, the suffix AL on the end of the word means, you know, something different, similar to or like. But anyways, and they're doing it without due process of law. We actually have an investigative committee here in New Hampshire going on, you know, about this I've been talking about. But the same thing is happening all over the place. The Constitution doesn't seem to matter to these guys, and the only people who are really going to have constitutional rights are the ones who belligerently claim them, is the bottom line. And even then, they're going to try really, really hard to ignore you.
And well, if you're the only one, they might just try to kill you.
Right, and they do this because they want to control you. They don't want to adhere to an old document. They don't want to adhere to their rules because it's just so easy to have people believe they're free and believe they have these rights, but when they don't claim them, they can believe they have all the rights all day long, and pay their taxes and be good little citizens. Yep.
And the thing is they're not so U.S. citizens. That's the problem. Most people are considered. And Julian Assange isn't even a U.S. citizen, is he?
No, he's not.
So under the Constitution, he would be protected because he is people. He's one of the people. As soon as he steps foot on this earth, on this ground, they call the United States of America. He is one of the people. So this is why, especially west of the Mississippi, you have people from Mexico, Mexican nationals. They are treated like the people that are described in the Constitution when law enforcement deals with them. Now, then that's for many reasons. First off, because they're not U.S. citizens. So a U.S. citizen is a second-class citizen. They are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Just read the Constitution.
Yeah.
Read the 14th Amendment. It says all persons born or naturalized within the territories of the United States are U.S. citizens herein, semicolon, and are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States of America, because the United States of America is something totally different than the United States. The United States is just, it's either the District of Columbia, territories or possessions, or it's some legal entity, some corporation calling itself United States. So, but when the Mexican nationals, for example, get, pulled over, they pretty much are just let go unless they have fake ID and get busted for it and upset somebody or are doing something that that particular, cop doesn't like or ICE agent doesn't like or whatever. Because that's how they target. You can basically just set up, go after anybody for any crime that they, that you want. Or there's multiple crimes you go after somebody for. There was a book, everybody commits 3 felonies a day or something.
Oh, so it's 3. For some reason, yesterday we were talking about it and I really thought it was 5.
Yeah,
but
that's 3.
At this point, it's probably like 10.
But, So, you start looking at, now it's, you got, they're implementing felonies for, memes, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are not a federal United States citizen, you get treated a whole lot better here. So, the thing with Assange here is this, this is just to make a political statement. It's the same thing with Ian, being prosecuted by the United States is to make a political statement. These guys have an injury. And right now, even with Trump, in these cases that they're going after Trump for, there's no injured parties. There's nobody's claiming an injury or a loss, except for, some, fictitious, organization calling itself state of whatever or, county prosecutor, whatever.
Yeah.
These entities that can't even be damaged because they're not even alive. And this is happening at all elements. And it's all about making an example. Ian is in jail and convicted.
And that's the founder of our show, Free Talk Live. He's been in jail for over 6 months now. He got sentenced in October, and he's in there for selling cryptocurrency. He's going to appeal starting next month.
So anyways, and, same thing with Trump. They're going after him for all this stuff. Assange, Snowden, these guys where there's no injured party. There can be no due process of there is no due process of law. They're using statutes to go after them. Statutes are not law. They are merely codes for these governmental agencies and governmental organizations, and they only apply to government contractors and governments. That's it. They don't apply to private people. And but the thing is this is just part of the the cabal is falling apart. I hope. And people are, waking up and understanding. And then so I just see this as some Australian people are putting pressure on Australian representatives about Julian Assange. But the thing is Australia, New Zealand, the European nations, like all the NATO nations, United States, Canada, they're all run by the same diabolical handful of people as far as I'm concerned. They're all run by these, collective group of, uber ultra rich people who we don't know who their names are, we don't know where they live, we don't know their identity.
Yeah, and
they
seem to want full and total control over our lives, how our healthcare is going to look like, what they can do to us during a pandemic.
Power to do different
they
things.
They want to regulate our speech, they want to do all sorts of things to us in the name of
saving the babies.
Yeah, saving the babies, saving
it's
the climate.
All for the kids.
It's all for the children, all for the climate, all for the earth. It's like, they don't care about these things.
But as far as Australian citizens, trying to get their government to help Assange, I really doubt that. To me, it sounds like the more we read into it, I was like, wait a second, this doesn't sound like a very good deal for Julian Assange, it's probably not even good news. It's probably just the Australian government, you know, colluding with the United States government to get him, he's going to be a felon for what? For something that should be protected under the United States First Amendment, but he's not even a citizen. They shouldn't have any power to go after him at all.
I mean, he would have protections under the Magna Carta. As far as I'm concerned, he has all of these rights because he's, you know, an upright man with opposable thumbs that can fog up a mirror and communicate with us. I don't care, you know, where he comes from. He should, he should not be trespassed on unless he trespassed on another. And clearly Assange did not trespass on anybody. And these are simple fundamentals of law that bar maggots, you know, lawyers who are members of the Bar Association, all these judges, prosecutors, they have just been, you know, just creating constant miscarriages of justice and following through with them left and right because most people don't fight back. Most people are just NPCs and they just pay the fines and just go along to get along. And
they want to be law-abiding citizens.
And the thing with all the masses, too, is, you know, we got this massive enslavement system now called that I call the algorithm, which is, you know, enslaving, you know, the masses unbelievably, you know, through the Internet devices and all this stuff. And it's doing a really good job. And then these algorithmic slaves are, as far as I'm concerned, they're just mostly doing what the algorithm tells them to do, who to vote for or whatever. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of these places that where the most of the population are these, you know, city urban liberal types who, you know, are in very much into their Internet devices and not taking care of themselves and are just totally rooting for, you know, the leftist government all the time. They're going to collapse. There's a lot of that in Australia. There's a lot of, pay attention, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, United States, Canada, these big blue cities, they're going to go down the toilet.
It's but they already have. And the other thing about it is, I feel like if they were going to fight back at all, that's just not going to happen. The citizens of Australia at this point,
no, probably not.
The stuff they went through for COVID was crazy. They don't have guns. They still don't believe they need guns. And I feel like if anybody has two brain cells to rub together in Australia, you would not live there anymore. So
right, that's I hung out with a bunch of expat Australians and New Zealanders and Europeans in Mexico when I was at Anarchapulco. Mm. And one guy,
recent expats, like since COVID or before?
Because of COVID.
Oh wow!
Yeah, a lot of them were like 2020. They just left Europe. You know, I don't know when it was when Max Egan left Australia. He doesn't even think he can go back there at this point.
Wow.
Another friend I worked with, she's just Rebecca. She's part of Anarchapulco. And, you know, she's from Australia. And you know, she's living in Mexico. And the thing is there's a lot of people with means and money and foresight that are getting out of those countries. Getting out of a lot of those countries.
You know, going back to what you said about algorithmic slaves, Jay, I think that it's easy to become an algorithmic slave because, you know, technology is a wonderful tool. It enables us to communicate with our friends or neighbors around the world, and it's brought us closer together as humanity. But, you know, social media companies and things like them are taking advantage of our vulnerability to connect.
Hmm.
And, you know, finding ways to serve us things that we will always click on to match our echo chamber because they want us in an echo chamber. It's easier to control people in an echo chamber and get them formulated to form against a group of other people.
Yeah, like if your posts are not actually reaching people who disagree with you, what's the point of posting? That's
absolutely
what I feel a lot of the time. Like on Twitter, I'm like, why do I just see all these people tweeting the same exact stuff like me? It's like, makes it feel like there's just no point. Like that's probably what their feeds look like too.
It's when you have a cult-like mentality on a social media, which, you know, that the algorithm is designed to create a cult-like mentality, it's easy to other the other. It's easy to treat the other person like they don't matter.
And another thing that's happening too is, I had a discussion with a mom today about her teenage son, is you're starting to see a lot of teenage boys, especially, you know, and even like 10, 12, but like young teenage boys that have had access to Internet devices and used Internet devices when they were like toddlers. Even in ones that were, the internet device was taken away when they were 7, 8 years old because, you know, they woke up, they moved to New Hampshire, for example, as one lady was telling me, oh, yeah, we took all that stuff away, you know, when the kid was like 7, I guess the kid's like 13 now, and basically, like, the kid is just like, all he wants to do is be on the internet, beyond the internet device, play video games, you know, and then the mom's going through, like, all of the, you know, search history, to, you know, mom's pretty smart, and she's like, oh, yeah, he's like, you know, looking at all this, you know, AI porn bot things.
Wow.
And like, you know, which is very attractive to a, you know, 13-year-old
boy. Oh, yeah.
Because
they're full of hormones. They're curious.
Right. They're curious. And the particular hormones that are getting released, the testosterone and whatever else happens, you know, his brain is being essentially, you know, formed to what kind of, you know, woman he's going to like.
Yeah.
And when the algorithm has control of that and is able to, you know, put that, you know, into their, is able to program those young boys, those young bulls of what kind of woman they like, well, what you start getting is population decline, like essentially what, there's really bad population issues in Japan, and a lot of that reason, I believe, is because the high-speed internet in Japan has been, you know, the first place in the world that really had real good internet. And a lot of the young Japanese men are just not interested in flesh and blood women because the internet.
Because of anime?
Because of pornography, because of anime, because of the attraction. Because their dopamine hits were. They got free dopamine hits at when their brain was developing from the internet, and then when their brain was sexually developing, they got the dopamine hit from the internet. You know, the internet doesn't tell you no, it doesn't reject you, it doesn't divorce you, it doesn't take half of your stuff,
no.
You're an AI bot. And there's even, like, these things where you can go in and just pick what kind of AI bot avatar or whatever you want.
And it'll talk back to you and have whatever personality you program it to and stuff, apparently.
Yeah.
It's really
ruining culture. And it starts with keeping your kids off internet devices right from the beginning.
603-283-6160 is the phone number here. Anyone can call in to say whatever is on their mind. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.